Congratulations, we've bided our time, you've waited all offseason, game week is here, and you found the most entertaining Iowa podcast in the ecosystem. It's the Wash Up Walk-Ons, and we are previewing Utah State. We sit down, talk about Cade Max, availability, how much will he play, talk about some game week ins and outs, what it's like to travel, how do they taper and recover, plus a whole lot more. Ward's Winners is back, let's have a day, let's go.
I do believe is episode 450 of the Friendship Podcast, aka now the Wash Up Walk-Ons Podcast, because we're officially in season. This is game week number one. That did not seem to pique Kevin's interest at all as I'm looking at his face here. So I thought he loved football, but maybe not this year. So this podcast could suck if Kevin doesn't bring the enthusiasm. But here we are. What's up, fellas?
I am... rock solid, as the kids might say about
fully tented. We have merchandise from that.
We do. And you know what? Word on the streets, we might have some more merchandise coming up.
Some new merch, and it's featuring the one, the only Jabronius G-Bone Effect Allen.
Yeah, I mean, there might be something in the works. I can neither confirm or deny it this time. That there might be something in the works. I'll say
it's
that.
About to be the best-selling shirt that we've ever done here at Washed Up Walk-Ons.
It's going to be hard to beat Hawks by a million. I think we've done a decent amount of units on that one. But if the G-Bone Effect outsells Hawks by a million, I'm going to both be extremely impressed and very jealous at the payday Gary takes off that.
It still might be zero.
What do you mean?
It might be zero.
We don't make a shirt of your likeness and not have you have equity in that.
Okay.
That's crazy.
If he outsells the Hawks by a million, it's his podcast now.
True.
Yeah. I don't know if the people want that. I mean, they might want a shirt.
Well, they want you more than Kluver. I can assure you that. We've seen that for facts.
Well, Kluver's been getting
absolutely drilled in the Discord lately, fellas. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but it's just he's really painted himself the villain. He's got himself backed into the villain corner where he just kind of is making hate with everybody.
He's got a lot of just terrible positions on just the most random things in life, and it's about time that people start calling him on this bullshit.
Well, he's getting called.
What is he getting called on now for in the Discord?
Well, yesterday he started talking about, quote, knowing ball. And then he had like a 30-minute discussion about what that meant and how basically he was like, if you didn't play at a high level, you can't know ball. And I was like, well, what about Bill Belichick? And he really made himself out to be an ass in the conversation for the most part.
Yeah, that's an absolutely horrible take, because there's a lot of great coaches who are terrible football players, like didn't even play in college. And there's also, I mean, it's X's and O's. It's how things move in the end. Like you can
take the time to study it, they can
learn how to be a really smart football person.
Yeah. You take your time to study it and understand the concepts. At the end of the day, it's a simple game that just has very difficult concepts in it.
I mean, you can literally just go YouTube, like, tell me the basics of a 4-3 defense, and then you can pretty much understand it after a few YouTube videos.
Should that be another shirt that, like, Kluver takes on the back of his shirt? Just, like, get a countdown or rankings?
No.
Put it inside the poop emoji.
Yeah. The last thing we're doing is giving Kluver his own t-shirt. That guy's got an ego the size of the Phoenix Valley already.
Yeah. Well, shitting on Kluver, always fun. Let's talk about shitting on some Aggies, huh?
Ooh.
That's really their team name, the Utah State Aggies.
Utah State Aggies. Yep.
Interesting.
I'm gonna regret asking this question. Drake, do you know anything about the matchup we got coming on this weekend?
Jordan Love played for them, right?
Once upon a time, yeah.
Was he BYU?
No, nah, Jordan Love was Utah State.
He was Utah State? Okay. I could be wrong.
The only other thing I have for you is that I have not been on Utah State's campus, but I've been where BYU's at, and I do believe I was close to Utah's campus as well, and they're both in beautiful areas. So the state of Utah checks out. It's a great place from a landscape standpoint.
What is the proportion of Mormons at Utah State? Do you think it's up right up there with Utah and BYU?
I think the state of Utah in general, it just has a high population, not just the campuses.
Or is that where you go if, like, if you're not a Mormon and you're looking for an in-state school?
Could be.
I'm not sure.
I just know that a lot of Mormons come from the state of Utah.
I think that is true.
I don't think there's a whole lot of them outside the state of Utah.
BYU's football stadium is so sick, though.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Where it is, it's sweet, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Utah, too. I'm sure Utah State is a great stadium as well. Like, if you just have that setting, it's hard to mess it up.
Mm-hmm. Are they kind of, like, by Salt Lake City, or where are they at?
Utah Utes are in Salt Lake City, right? Or am I tripping?
They're near it. I think they're a little bit outside of it.
And then BYU is just maybe 45 minutes to an hour outside of Salt Lake City as well.
Ooh, this is pretty, guys. This is a pretty stadium. Hold on. Look at this. Oh, now I've lost the photo. This is okay. Hold on. We're going to make it work.
The fans are like, why are we talking about Utah and BYU? We're just talking about the state of Utah at this point.
Can you see
Gary, what are we doing here?
Can you see it yet? No.
No.
I'm sorry. This is bad podcasting, but look how beautiful. That's a nice stadium.
That is a nice stadium.
Just kind of like BYU's.
Yeah. Like I said, it's like,
and that's also that super similar to Indiana. You remember playing in Indiana, Kev?
Not a whole lot of mountains in Indiana, but
No. I'm talking about the shape of the stadium in general. I see how stupid that comment was. I was talking about
this looks exactly like Bloomington, Indiana.
Okay, I guess if you're just going by the stadium,
where they have that big glass weight room right there.
Yeah. No, nice stadium, but the Aggies rolling into Iowa City this weekend.
I got a question for you guys. From Iowa's perspective, right? Does the week one prep feel a little bit different than like other weeks? Like obviously first one of the year, haven't prepped in like done the night before game stuff in a while. Like what's the biggest difference for players between week one, like let's say like week 10?
Good question. Cause you're not like in season form yet. I mean, when you actually get into game week practices, it feels amazing on the legs because you've just been hammering like for the last month of camp practice, Iowa versus Iowa. So once you actually get into game week where they pull off a whole lot of the volume and you're working on being crisp, being fast, it feels amazing. But like mentally, I think I was always most nervous week one because
really
the team was like an unknown.
Everything is unknown.
Everything's like unknown. You think you have a good team, right? You think you know where you're strong at. You think you know where you might struggle at as a team, but everything's unknown going into week one, right? Because you haven't played someone with that set of guys. So I was always nervous week one, especially. I think that probably has something to do with our very first game. We lost to Northern Illinois, and you know, starting off your Hawkeye career is 0-1. Bad feeling, and I think that gave me a little PTSD for the following four opening game weeks. But just everything being unknown quantity just made me a little bit nervous going into it.
For me, that first Monday of game week, that very first game week Monday, that's the first time you get a boner in like 3 weeks. Camp is so terrible. You hate your life so much. You forget why you even do this shit. You're like, what? Why am I here? I've made so many terrible decisions in my life to be in this spot right now. And then that Monday of game week rolls around and you're like, is this heaven? No, it's Iowa City, but it feels pretty damn close.
This is why we have Drake Kulik. It's always the answer you might not expect. That's a good answer. When you say that, though, obviously, Kinnick Stadium, great environment, right? Do you, get re-reminded almost when you get it that first week after you haven't seen it in a little bit of, how juiced the place can get?
So we would practice every now and then in Kinnick, throughout camp in August. I don't think you really kind of got that feeling until, Drake, correct me if I'm wrong, the Friday before the game, you always go to the locker room in Kinnick to check all your stuff, make sure everything's good, and make sure that, you get anything you need from the equipment staff so you're not scrambling around the day before. But walking to the stadium, going into the locker room on Friday before, that's when I started to feel the juice.
For me, it was packing my travel bag. For whatever reason, that was a big adrenaline spike for me, because then I'd be visualizing the game and thinking about how fucking cool it was. And packing my travel bag was always one of the things I look forward to the most.
Yeah, because don't they send you guys off to a hotel the day before?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So doesn't matter if it's home game or away game, but you're staying at a hotel the night before, because they don't want guys getting into distractions, being tempted by Sally from Beta Theta Pi. Don't need any of that bullshit the night before a game.
Kev, correct me if I'm wrong here, but when that bus gives the exhaust sound and the wheels finally start to roll out from out front of the complex and the hay's in the barn for the week, and you're just kicked back with your feet up on the way to the hotel knowing you're about to eat some banging ass meals and just hang out with your buddies, play some cards, and then play football the next day, pure bliss.
Absolutely, because like we just said, man, football is a fucking grind for 9 months out of the year. And the season's a grind too, but especially but that first
also
game.
Also the payoff.
Yeah, exactly. Once you have the work behind you and it's nothing ahead of you except playing a football game, yeah, I agree. It's just an awesome feeling, because the practice to game ratio in football is just stupid, right? You only get to play 12 games a year and you're practicing year round. When you finally get the chance to put in the or to show off the work that you've been doing all year, it's awesome. So I know the guys are going to be jacked up this year. It's going to be, especially, Drake, did you ever feel like things felt different when there was a little bit more outside hype going into a year versus not so much?
I don't remember a year. I guess 2016, we probably had a lot of hype going into it.
For sure, yeah.
No, I don't think I did. That was going to be the first time that I ever was in a starting lineup. And so for me, that I had a whole different set of circumstances going on between my ears. So I don't even know if I was paying attention to what everything felt like. I was kind of tunnel visioned for that first one, a little nervous.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah. Yeah, but I think there's a lot of excitement around this team, despite the struggles that they had at times throughout the season last year. A lot of key parts got added this year. I think there's a lot of outside hype, and I think the boys are going to be really excited to finally show off what they've been doing all off season.
So what I can say about the outside hype is that one that I remember super distinctly was in 2015, before we played Minnesota. They had the Rumble in the Jungle or whatever they called it with the wrestling team, right? And we were something 8-0, playing at night in Kinnick, and we got to, man, probably
it was 9-0. This is number 10.
Okay, we're 9-0, and we got to the Walgreens on First Avenue. We're about to turn down the Coralville Strip in yep. front of the track and field stadium and stuff. And it's already packed. Like, it's packed down there. I'm like, whoa, there's a lot of people. By the time we made it to Kinnick, that was some of the most people I've ever seen anywhere in my life. And that feeling was pure electricity.
Oh, yeah, because the fans were absolutely
juiced
from the wrestling match that was just a few hours earlier. Yeah, that was the most insane Hawk walk ever.
It never got topped again. Second, the greatest Hawk walk of all time, the Rose Bowl. There was more people at that Hawk walk than I think were in the whole rest of the state of California.
Man, I don't remember the Rose Bowl Hawk walk.
Really? Oh,
for some reason I felt like we pulled all the way into the stadium.
No, that was the Big Ten Championship. For the Rose Bowl, we drove past, I'm going to say, 100,000 people. And then we drove up to like where we were going to go in, and it was probably 50 to 60 yards from where they park the buses to where you get to the start of the like down ramp into underneath the stadium and into the tunnel and shit. And we got off those buses and I just did kind of like a 360 to look, and there was people like there were ants, dude. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, man. I don't know why that thing's, maybe I just blocked that whole memory. All right. My memory, it was a tough day for the boys.
Sounds pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. But other than the fact that Christian McCaffrey set all sorts of records against us. But yeah, other than that, it's pretty cool.
So other things with week one, though. So I'm curious what you guys think. The Cade McNamara stuff has kind of gone a little bit back and forth from what I've seen with a lot of different quotes. From you guys, like, you guys know what, like, how Kirk does with handling the media and injuries. Do you think he's going to play?
Yeah, I'd expect him to. I mean, I don't have any insider information, but given the kind of context clues around the injury, it sounded like a meniscus tear that he probably just got cleaned up. And, you know, we've had guys that come back in a week from those, and you know, granted, he's had a previous ACL tear. This is all speculative, but I'd imagine he'd be fine to start week one unless they're just being super cautious with him. But I fully expect to see him out there. I don't know. Drake, you got a different idea?
I believe that if KF gets the green light from the medical staff, that he is going to play. I don't think that KF would reserve him by any means if he is fully cleared. But I think that KF is going to maybe force a little extra caution out of the doc. Like, you like, make you're damn sure that this knee is good to go. And then if the doc clears him, he'll play.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you know, maybe he'll have the reins a little tighter on him. It's like, they'll maybe tell them to throw the ball away instead of try to scramble for 4 or 5 yards or something like that.
He's got
to
have a knee brace on, right?
You'd imagine so.
I think he was wearing one before, even.
Yikes.
What I imagine.
Maybe he gets pulled if we're up later in the game. But yeah, I fully expect to see him out there.
Oh, cool. Then what are, like, expectations you guys have for the team overall heading into this? Like, what's something you need to see or want to see from Iowa here in the first week?
I need to see them control the line of scrimmage. This is a team where they simply should not have any issue controlling the line of scrimmage. We should be bigger, stronger, just more physically dominant, and I would hope more well-prepared, especially from what we went through last year. I would hope that these guys in the offensive line are, like, hell-bent to prove that they're better. And so I would expect to see a well-controlled line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I'm going to second that. And both sides of the ball, too. We fully expect the front seven to be really good this year on defense, especially that defensive line. I think I was looking it up earlier. Utah State only brings back It's four, two or three four, of their offense.
I think it's four on each side of the ball for a return.
That was just going off from their offensive line. It's either two or three guys. I really expect them to control the line of scrimmage, and I'd be very upset if the Aggies were able to establish any sort of a run game.
Okay.
Defensively,
and I'm going to be super upset if we don't establish a dominant run game. Because at this point, we have two very good tight ends, two or three very good running backs, a big ass fullback, and an offensive line that should be able to eat them up. So if we're not running for 6-7 yards per carry average by the end of the night, if you don't think that we should be able to rush for 6 yards a carry when it's all said and done against Utah State, if we have a team that we want to have, you know, that we expect to have.
That's quite a lofty goal. 6 yards a carry.
They're still a D1 team.
I don't think it is. I'm not saying run for 6 yards a carry against Penn State. I'm saying 6 yards a carry in the opening game against a defense that hasn't played against you before.
To answer your question on a more macro basis, I just want to see things kind of running sharply, you know. I don't want to see like having to burn timeouts because we're running up against the play clock, we don't have the right personnel in, or I don't want to see miscommunications on defense, we're not getting the right checks made. I just want to see things running smoothly and efficiently. You know, even if it's just from offense to punt team, or getting your right sub packages in, just things that make it look like the machine is running well. Because again, it's week one, you're still expecting guys to improve throughout the year as far as just on the field play. But week one, you're going to see a lot in a team by just how they're doing things, right? Are they just being disciplined, smart, making the right checks, not beating themselves type of thing?
For us, or for me, it's pre-snap penalties, because you can learn a ton about, you can learn a ton about the focus of a team when it comes to pre-snap penalties. And even if you're not playing your best ball, or even if you're not the most talented team on the field, if you don't make any pre-snap penalties, you're immediately so much more likely to succeed. Like, pure focus is all it takes. So if everybody's buttoned up on their goal and on what they're to be focused on every play, the machine runs like Kevin was saying. It runs like a well-oiled machine, and there's no pre-snap issues.
Yeah, and then, of course, KF always harps on turnovers are huge. So, you know, you're not always going to be able to force turnovers, but – when you have the ball, you generally have the control over whether that ball goes to the defense or not. So holding onto the football is definitely something I want to see. I just want to see clean football, man. I don't want to see sloppy play, because if they're playing clean football, I know that everything else can improve on top of that.
So then, like, let's say you see first drive out there, there's like a false start, right? And then eventually they go punt. How quickly are you turning to like, they're not focused, like you were saying earlier? Like, how much room are you giving them?
So you're saying first drive, we go out there, false start, and then ends up.
Yeah, let's say they get one first down and then they punt after that.
You know, I'm not going to.
Like, how long's your leash? How long's your drive?
It's not about a leash for me at all. It's when you look back at the game, what is the reason that you either succeeded or lost or struggled? Right. If it's halftime and the score is 7-3 and we're losing because we can't move the ball because we've got missed assignments in the run game, missed assignments in pass protection. We've got pre-snap penalties. We've got substitution issues. Like, that's what we're talking about, where this just isn't a focused team. But it's not just one penalty in particular, because anything can happen on any just one instance. If you end the game with one pre-snap penalty, you had a great game. That's a super focused game.
Okay.
Yeah, and it doesn't take a football expert to recognize what is sloppy play and what isn't, right?
Right.
Like, most people, I'm not going to say everybody, because I've heard some crazy opinions out there in the stands, but
a lot of people don't know ball, you know.
Most people can recognize what is sloppy and what is not, right?
No, that makes sense.
Kluver, hi. Just talking about some of the crazy opinions that you got.
Which ones?
Don't worry about it. You'll find out when you edit this thing.
All right. You know what would be crazy, though?
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
If you emptied your bank account
on Betfred.
On Betfred. I would just
love Betfred.
Can you imagine? Shout out to Betfred. Shout out to me finally making the podcast. I'm sure it was 100 times better without me. But I'm here to tell you that this show and this season is going to be 100% better with Betfred at our side. In fact, a little surplus funding for the boys here to make some degeneracy bets. Pretty excited about that. Oh, yeah. And we'll get to those at the end of the show. I haven't even looked. We might have to do a little bit of live discussion on what the lines look like. I know the Iowa line has shifted a little bit. Betfred is the guy to go to when you're betting this season. If you haven't downloaded the Betfred Iowa app yet, please do so. I got on there yesterday. They got Hawkeye Elvis on some Iowa promos that they're using him for like a photocopy. Like, he's the guy. He's heading the promo. So,
did you tell them that you're not a fan of Hawkeye Elvis?
I never said that.
Anyone who exhibits any sort of fandom traits whatsoever.
No, because if you're
turned off the app, he said no. This is ridiculous.
if your shtick has ascended to the level at which companies are using you for promotional imagery, then clearly you're on a different level with your super fandom. So. And me and Hawkeye Elvis are all good, man. All good.
Shout out Betfred, though.
Shout out to him. We're going to be making a lot of bets this year, juicy ones.
Oh, I've already placed so many.
Quiver, you're going to bet $7. Don't be talking about fucking juicy bets, bud.
Is that – can I not have my own version of juicy?
Sure, you can, but it has to be more than $10 on the first bet for a company. All right, I'll never live that. I'll let you live that down.
Okay. Another partner of the walk-ons back this year, AdCraft. If you're a part of the Patreon, shout out to them. You're hearing this on potentially Wednesday evening, but most of you are hearing this on a Thursday. Tomorrow at the walk-ons live event, you're going to get a chance to check out some of AdCraft's own apparel in their premium Hawkeye brand called Hawkadelic, which is where our merchandise now sits online. You're also going to get a chance to buy some washed up walk-ons hats, some t-shirts, known for great D t-shirts. Probably going to sell right off the shelf or the table, the booth that we're in. And that's all AdCraft supported and created. They are not only creating Hawks by a Million and walk-on merch, but they may or may not have given us a little G-Bone effect design today, which is probably going to sell like hotcakes out of our online store as well. So shout out to AdCraft being back as a partner. They've never done us wrong. We've had a couple companies with the merchandise shit do us wrong. So love having them on board. We'll get back to the discussion. It sounded like we were talking about sloppy play. Drake talking about a 7-3 ball game at halftime. If I'll say this, if whatever Drake was talking about proceeds to be the actual event 2 quarters in, we could probably just count on Drake not returning to the podcast until January. So
it wasn't anything like that. He was just asking how soon do you know that a team's not focused or doing just being sloppy and shit? And I said, it's more of a sum of all of the game, not just one play. You don't just make a decision off of one single false start or something like that. It's the game as a whole.
Yeah. Penalties are certainly one of those markers.
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about, especially Drake was talking about pre-snap penalties, just stuff that's purely mental. Big indicator of sloppy play, not being focused.
Yeah, on a deeper level, too, if you see a guy make a penalty, not that you would, as a fan, potentially be watching for this, but if a guy makes a penalty and then the next play, you can see that it's affected his performance or his key on the next play. He lets a guy through the line, or he misses a block on the next one. He's letting one play affect the next. Not what you're looking for from the boys. I don't know, though. I think in this realm, I feel like we've got I got a feeling, man. I got a feeling.
What is the feeling?
I think we're going to absolutely obliterate Utah State on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, you know who was kind of disagreeing?
Who?
Well, so there's a little storyline coming into this. So we talked about Kate a little bit before, but Utah State's QB is stirring up some media as well. So he had a quote today where he said, this is a returning quarterback, Cooper Lagasse. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but his quote ultimately was, "For me, just watching film so far, I think it's not the most confusing defense I've ever seen. They really stick to the base stuff. They just do it really well, which is what makes them so awesome every year." Is this like moments before disaster?
No.
Well, he's going to get eaten alive, but not for that comment, because his comment is actually true.
Yeah, it's not wrong. He's not wrong.
Yeah, the comment's dead on. I don't know. What are people saying about it? Like, are they saying is that a shot at Iowa?
Yeah, some people are saying it's
famous last words kind of thing.
Yeah, let's like, oh, it's not that confusing. Like, we'll be fine. And then, like,
it's not. I'm going to tell you right now. Yeah. He's right. We play base defense the vast majority of the time. It's just within that defense, there's 50 different checks that you could possibly make based off of personnel, formation, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, we run what we run, and we coach the shit out of it and just try to run it really well to the point where we're just like, hey, you know what we're running, beat us, but we know what we do.
Yeah, it's almost like it's almost just like Phil has taken it and said, hey, we're gonna be vanilla and we're gonna be damn good vanilla, right? I mean, it's just when you're running the same thing all the time and there's not a lot of flair to it, you can be really good at one thing.
Yeah,
and what that elicits is every guy, because defense is about spacing, right? You got to have guys filling gaps, filling holes, filling areas of the field. And you guys see the tweets all the time or the statistics all the time. I think Iowa's in the last 5 or 10 years leads the country in interceptions or turnovers in total. And that's because the guys are so good on defense that everybody's always in the right spot. You start running a bunch of flare shit, it's like, okay, well, now you look cool. You're sending a bunch of blitzes and shifting guys around. But now these defenders have a bunch more to worry about, probably more checks, Kevin, I imagine, when you're running a bunch of that shit. And there's more opportunity for a gear to get loose in the machine. And then you have, busted coverages and shit like that. So,
yeah, sure. I mean, the reason that we get so many picks is because we run zone defense 90%+ of the time.
Not a big man team.
No, it's hard to get interceptions in man. It basically requires either unbelievable coverage or a bad throw.
Yeah.
And, in zone coverages, you can undercut routes, you can, it's easy for a quarterback to not see a guy in a different zone, and he can come in and swoop a pick. But yeah, we run what we run, and you can almost be positive that, you know, if you come out in I formation, that we're going to be playing cover two to the field, or I'm sorry, cover two to the boundary. It's almost a guarantee, right?
So then I have a follow-up question then. So I mentioned earlier there could be this guy with game experience, right? Do you think that impacts when you're thinking about like Iowa's defense, their ability to create turnovers? Because in my mind, like a freshman QB is going to make bad decisions more often than a guy who's played a decent amount before.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you saw that in the bowl game. Kentucky wasn't playing Will Levis, and they had a new
like
guy
even,
in there.
Even with Utah State, though, like I think a lot of people think that like we're just going to force a ton of turnovers, but like if they have an experienced QB, does that change your mind at all on it?
No, pressure forces turnovers.
Yeah, so I have a different opinion on this. I think that there are given turnovers and there are forced turnovers, right? You know, like just a bad throw, unless like Drake says, it's like pressured or D lineman gets in the face of the quarterback, hit as he thrown. A bad throw is to me is like a given turnover. If they just drop the ball like on the quarterback center exchange, that's a given turnover. Forced turnovers are when guys on defense make plays, in my opinion. This is just my shtick. Now, I don't think anyone else subscribes to this belief, but this is just me. Forced turnovers are like when you get a strip or you make an insane play to get a pick, right? You're going to get more given turnovers from a more inexperienced quarterback. Yes, absolutely. They're going to make less smart plays. They're going to try to force things sometimes. They might get a little nervous in the pocket, hold the ball a little too long, get stripped. Yeah, of course. Unless you have like just a guy who has a lot of experience, but he's just really bad. Yeah, that guy can just continually give more picks. But yeah, generally more inexperience leads to more turnovers. Yeah.
You also might find if a guy's got some experience and he's like a confident quarterback, he might be trying to come into Kinnick and like show it off a bit and be like, watch, I'm going to beat Iowa's defense.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Iowa's supposed to have this secondary of doom and stuff, but I'm going to go do my thing. And he tries to make throws that just aren't the smartest, just kind of ballsy throws. And you can see overconfident guys try and make too many ballsy plays on our defense.
Bad idea.
But if you just look at what Michael Penix at Indiana went through a couple years ago when he played us, like that's a good player. Like he's great still player. Proven to be a very good player.
He
came into Kinnick and had the pressure in his face all day, and he just couldn't get the ball to the right spot. Pressure forces turnovers, and like Kevin was saying, he expects the defensive line to own the line of scrimmage, the front seven in general. But, I mean, if the defensive line's owning the line of scrimmage and putting pressure in their face, and we've got seven guys in coverage playing zone as well as we play zone, I mean, where are you going to throw it? There's always somebody in the way.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem.
I think they only bring back two receivers from last year too. So I think their offense is really going to struggle.
I believe just four returning starters on offense for this team. Bad. Another thing that was mentioned in the Discord, I don't know what came up on this, but, I think it was, they were just talking about the heat. Going to be hot. 93 on Saturday.
Don't love that.
That turf ain't going to be 93. That turf going to be about 193.
Now, we might be able to get away from that in the morning, but by the end of the game, it's going to be hot. They sent out like hydration, drink your water alerts on Twitter already across all the Iowa Twitter accounts. There's 100% going to be multiple students and adults passed out.
So you're saying it's going to be a nice day to be in the press box.
It would be a fantastic day to be sitting in the box.
And I'm pretty sure in those press boxes, they have Whitey's chipper sandwiches.
Sure do. At the beginning of the fourth quarter, they pass them around like they're free tokens.
So you're going to enjoy that. I'm sad about that. There's no Whitey's down here. So I ain't had Whitey's ice cream in a long time. And Whitey's is my number one favorite ice cream of all time. I would love one of those. Would love a
you
chipper,
and I,
chipper back to back.
Drake, you and I, we took several trips to the old Whitey's to grab a little ice cream back in the day.
Yeah, used to do Whitey's a lot. Whitey's was the first ice cream shop that I ever went to. We had a Whitey's at the mall in Muscatine when I was little.
Really?
Yeah, man. They didn't even make it past when I was maybe first or second grade. but mom and I used to go after school sometimes to Whitey's, and I loved their sherbet. So I would get their watermelon sherbet and their orange sherbet, mix them up. Dude, love it.
Dude, this sounds like a necessary sponsor. We need to reach out. Matt, if you're listening, contact Whitey's Ice
Whitey's Cream. Whitey's Ice Cream. I'll tell you what, man. I'll shout Whitey's from the fucking rooftop.
We'll make half of our podcast Whitey's Ice Cream discussion if we have
I'll to. Eat a pint every day for 365 days if they sponsor this podcast.
He's not lying to. Shout out to Whitey's. We will be getting chippers. Kevin, I'm excited to introduce you to the people in the box. Grant, you as well. I'm just excited to see you boys in general. It really put a cap.
Excited to see you as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic Saturday. So back to the hydration thing. It always becomes an issue for these teams that come into Kinnick about middle of that third quarter, getting late in the game. They start to get a little crampy. They start to go down. I have theories about this. I don't know if they're correct or not. In my opinion, these teams are, one, playing in an environment that it's probably going to be the most lit environment that they play in all year. Can't imagine Utah State has another game on their schedule that's going to be bigger or more attended or more exciting than this kickoff in Kinnick. It happens to be at the beginning of the year when it's the hottest. It's, you know, the heat and weather in general is promoting exhaustion, dehydration, injury. But then there's something about getting up for a game like this where you get
adrenaline and anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. That. And these teams are going to feel that more than the Hawks will. I remember numerous times when we would play, or even since we've been done, some of these FCS programs or other teams that come in, and hell, maybe you can attribute it to some of their offseason preparation too in the strength conditioning area, but they just start to cramp up and go down and lose a little juice in that third quarter. The Hawks, even if we're not executing well, have always seemed to at least be physically okay. So that's something to look for as well. But yeah, it's you pair that with a quarterback or anybody on their team that starts trying to be a hero. I just don't think it's going to be a good day for the Utah State Aggies. It's probably not going to be a good day.
So excited to watch our defense play football though.
Oh God. It's just old Coop DeJean back in town, you know. Every guy.
I don't think he ever left town, did he? I think he stayed.
No, I mean back in the field. Back. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's on a world tour or something.
He will be soon.
Gary, do you ever see any of the guys around campus wearing the Iowa football backpacks, anything like that?
Gray sweats.
Yeah, actually,
are they easy to spot out?
Well, they used to have like issued bright yellow shoes back in my sophomore year that everyone was wearing in the fall. So it was super easy. Now it's a little more like camouflage blended, but it's also like, I mean, you get like a D1 tight end or like these D1 linemen, like not like, even if you're just in street clothes, like you see these dudes walking around. And it's like, you're not here to like for astrophysics. All right. Like this is, I mean,
but what if they are, dickhead?
Who are you fooling? Like, like,
you're right. You're right, Grant. That's how I felt every day walking amongst these guys.
I was at the old casino on Saturday, and I spotted a group of three of them. I didn't know who they were, but I can, you know when you see a football guy.
You right? can
those,
tell, man.
Those are three football dudes right
they,
there.
They look a lot different than like me and my friends walking around on campus. It's a whole different entourage.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they're built different. They look different. They walk different. It's, saw a few of them. Didn't look like they had any luck, but hopefully they have some luck here this Saturday.
Speaking of luck, though, I did want to talk a little bit about like spreads and totals for this game. If you guys, is that okay?
Absolutely, go for it. This will introduce us into our favorite segment of the entire year, really. But kick it off, G-Bone.
All right, perfect. So I feel like a lot of people are jumping on the Iowa line here. I'm looking at -23.5 right now.
It's all the way down to -23.5.
Yeah, it's getting bet down a little bit.
Wow. That's slid 2 points, two whole points.
It has slid 2 whole points. People are kind of thinking a little bit. They know the contract thing with Brian is on a lot of people's minds, like thinking that Iowa's going to take chances here to run it up. But personally, I mean, you guys, I want a little insight. Kirk and Brian don't really strike me as like the let's run it up on the out of conference opponent type. What do you think we're going to see now?
Are you asking like what a late game strategy be if they're up big?
Yeah.
Like if the Hawks go up 28 points and it's like the late
I mean quarter, they'll put the backups in,
but they'll still run plays to win 28. The game.
But yeah, exactly. They're still running plays to get first downs and to eventually score touchdowns for sure. Yeah.
Because here's the thing. You want those twos that they're not going to get as an entire unit a ton of game experience, and you want those units to get as much experience as you can. So when those guys go in, say Cade and the boys get it done, right? We're up four touchdowns. It's 35-7, and we're entering the fourth. This is a prime opportunity to go and play as good of football as you can with, I think Labus is back from injury and will be available, and the two string line and the, you know, the third and fourth tight end and the, you know, the couple of the backup receivers that, Jazz Patterson running back, like that's a time for those guys to go shine and get some game speed reps in front of a crowd
in which some are so valuable for experience.
And you just don't get very many if you don't get right. Especially when you're Iowa, and you know, you look at Ohio State's going to win these first two or three games by 40 points, and their backups are going to get a ton of reps. Iowa, not always the case, right? We lost to Iowa State last year. I don't think our backups were ever in. Even against some of these mid-major or FCS teams, because of the style of football we play, we've been in games. And so it's not like you pull the foot off the gas, but
now they're not going to be throwing flea flickers or anything crazy like that, or pulling out, you know, the play they got in their back pocket that they're saving for a rainy day. But, you know, they're still gonna be playing to, you know,
right,
ball and score points.
Still gonna be playing Iowa football, which is, you know, we're not the air raid anyway. So
yeah.
Who knows? No,
that's good to know, because like, I think a lot of people are expecting, like, they're seeing UTSA saying they're like, we need to put up 70 points this game because of later.
I don't think that that will cross a single person's mind who's on the sideline. I just
don't. If I was Brian, I'd be trying to score 100 every fucking night.
Now, there were a couple games in our tenure where we tried. North Texas, I think we beat those guys 62-7 or something.
Right.
Western Michigan, I know we ran it up 1 year, 56-10.
You know, yeah, we ran it up. I mean, they just didn't do anything to stop us. You know,
like
you can run outside zone all you want and say, hey, you tackle us if you want, but if it goes for a 40-yard touchdown, I mean, you're not going to just tell your guys to start taking a knee, right?
Sure. No. No, you're right. Real quick before we get back to the lines, did you guys go over any of those questions I had put on the document, Gary?
Yeah, pretty much all of them.
Was there for Drake, you or Kevin, any stuff that when game week hit, like a routine based thing that you guys would immediately kind of like fall into, try and like establish in week one, so that it was anything specific that you guys like
class on Thursdays and go get a haircut?
Okay. I mean, yeah, that's certainly fits exactly what I was asking for. Not the answer I was expecting, but what class did you have on Thursdays?
Whatever class it was.
Oh, okay. Always got a haircut on Thursdays. All right. You got a haircut every week on Thursday? Wow.
Either every week or every other week. Don't remember.
Drake was rocking a real tight cut back in the day.
He was. He was clean.
Yeah.
He was clean.
Well, he looked clean. He wasn't, though.
Well, and we'll leave that there, won't we?
For me, it was just the importance of getting on a sleep schedule. Because you went from camp,
yeah,
and then, like, you know, you're usually going to bed pretty late during camp because meetings go late and you gotta watch film and all that shit. But then once you get into game week and school starting, it's like you gotta get into a sleep schedule.
We
you know
woke
what really
up.
Helps that sleep schedule.
What's that?
Xanax.
Muscle relaxers. Thursday class.
Muscle relaxers give you some phenomenal sleep.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I'm actually gonna. No, well, yes, that is true. But no, also finding when you can get naps during the week too is huge.
Really, naps?
Working around your sleep schedule, your school schedule. Oh yeah, big time.
I don't think
when it comes to winning football games, naps are way more important than lectures.
Well, yeah, I think we'll agree there. What was the bedtime, Kev? What time did you want to be asleep by?
I mean, I was usually in bed by a little after 9, probably.
I was going to say about 9:30.
I mean, you were up a little bit later, but you were in your room by then.
Yeah, we were both probably asleep by 10.
Oh, I was definitely asleep by 10, no doubt.
Because we were waking up, I can't remember exactly, but I think we woke up about 6 and rolled over.
Depends on what day it is, because we lifted Monday, Wednesdays before practice. So that was like a 5 a.m. wake-up call.
Dog, that was a 4:50 alarm.
Lift didn't start till 6.
Yeah, you don't wake up immediately, right? You don't just fucking, when the alarm goes off, you're not just ready to get out the door.
Kevin and I did.
Oh, yeah. You know, I left Cleveland sometimes because his ass wasn't in the car by 5:15 and I was just gone.
Then it gives you time, hot tub, get ready, get you something to eat. It's just the whole routine.
Dude, if there's something I could buy, it would be.
And my whole senior year, I was like uber hurt. So I was always going into treatment every morning.
The one thing that I would translate from our old life as players to now would be if I could just have the hot tub ready for me to jump in before to start my morning.
God, dude. Yeah. Just starting a workout before. It's a lot.
I want the food, man. I miss that damn food so bad. I'm such a food whore.
Speaking of food, dude, I've been eating. It's so hard to eat 4,000 calories plus when it's clean. I'm struggling. I'm on like 4,200 a day, and I'm just like, well, at the end of the day, I'm just fucking.
Pound of ground beef and a cup of rice is like 1,500. There's your dinner.
You know how tiring that gets, man.
Yeah, you got to do that 3 times a day. That's just a lot. 3 pounds of meat and all that rice is a lot.
Oh, you eat something different for breakfast and lunch, but you know,
eggs.
You put different seasonings on it and all that fun
stuff. Well, I can do bacon, eggs, and pancakes. I add sausage in there every day of my life because I basically do. I just substitute the pancakes for toast or, you know, an apple or something.
I mean, I do an eggs and peanut butter and jelly every morning. It's just like a couple of these last couple of days have been like, Jesus Christ. Shall we get into it?
Let's do it.
Favorite, and if you're new here, this is an experience. So I just want you to really feel it, really dive into it.
DJ Kevin! Yeah.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody...
And we're here. Awards winners presented by Betfred. The segment presented by Betfred. We're going to pick some games. I have the app pulled up right here. We're going to look at some lines. Grant already mentioned the Iowa line at 23.5. What was the over under down to?
It's 43, and I want it on record. I'm taking the over in every single Iowa game this year. I don't care what anyone says.
It's not a good.
I want it to be on record how confident I am in the offense this year.
Right. But you're also expressing disconfidence in the defense. You know that, right?
A little bit. Or just like some insane, just very false confidence in the offense to just take the load and just pause.
But just, tough for overs to hit when teams are regularly scoring less than 17 points against you.
Yeah.
It's good. Life's too short to bet the under, Grant.
Yeah. Listen to Drake.
What? Life's too short to bet the under.
There we go. Thank you.
Kevin's got a hard out, so we're going to go with his picks of the week. I am so excited. Kevin, please inform us.
It's been a long time coming, and, you know, Drake says life's too short to take the under. I think his life is way too short to just leave money on the table, so I'm going to take the under a couple times a day.
Okay.
And we're going to start off with the Central Michigan at Michigan State.
Okay.
Friday night game. The over-under is at 45.5. I like the under. Michigan State losing their starting quarterback and best receiver to the transfer portal this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to struggle all year. Central Michigan returns 9 guys on defense. I like this game kind of being close. You know, if I were to bet the line, which is 14.5, I'd lean towards Central Michigan, but I think the under is the safer play here. Michigan State does return 7 guys on defense. They weren't great last year, but, you know, they're also going up against a MAC school that's returning like 5 guys on offense. So I don't think there's a whole lot of points in this game. Give me the under on 45.5 on that game.
All right.
We're going to roll into another MAC versus Big Ten matchup.
Kevin loves MAC. Like,
MAC's great, but
it's fantastic.
I like the Buffalo Bulls getting 28 points at Wisconsin.
Really?
Yeah.
Great pick.
Well, Wisconsin is an unknown commodity to me right now. They're changing up a lot of things. And I have a hard time believing that their offense is going to look really sharp after going from what they used to be to a big old spread offense. You know, first year quarterback, you know, granted he has a lot of experience at SMU, but, you know, new offense, new system. 28 points is a lot, and Buffalo is supposed to have a solid defense as far as MAC teams go this year. So I think they'll keep it close. I mean, it's tough to win by 4 touchdowns, man. So give me the Buffaloes plus 28.
It is tough to win by 4 touchdowns. True.
And last but not least, we got West Virginia at Penn State. I like the under in this game as well. It's at 50.
Really?
Yes.
Penn State just lost an offensive lineman to medical retirement, by the way.
I did not know that. Good to know. They also are having a first-year starting quarterback, lost 2 of their top receivers. Mm-hmm. But the real story is on the other side of the ball. Penn State's going to have probably one of the best defenses in college football this year.
Top 5, yeah.
And that's why I like the under in this game.
Yeah, they're West Virginia might not score.
Dude, that defense we played in 2016, that Penn State defense was nasty too.
Felt like a world beater there as well. Yeah, I like those picks. I like those picks. We'll leave it there for a second. And we'll say goodbye to Kevin. You know, go shake some babies, kiss some hands, and
talk by a million, baby.
Ooh, yeah. Tell them, I love it. See you later. All right, cool. Drake, I assume you're not going to be making picks as you don't.
Okay. Correct. Cool. I got nothing for you.
Are you going to participate when the NFL games start?
Maybe.
Maybe? Okay. Maybe we'll just have you give UFC picks every week.
I was looking at them this week, but I don't really have – there's a lot of unknowns. Mm-hmm. I don't know the lines, and I don't actually really know what's going to happen. I think Thug Rose will get it done. She's moving up weight class.
So. She's fighting
Thug Rose? Oh, yeah.
How do you not pick Thug Rose?
I just did.
By that.
Alex, I'm all in. Who's Thug Rose fighting?
She's got a weird name, a foreign chick, Manon Fiorro.
Kind of sick.
I've never heard of Thug Rose. I want it. What are the odds?
I'm going to bring it back to football here. And I think this is sort of a, what do we call it? A bit of a, it's a yearly, it's an annual thing that I do. We'll kick off the week 1 with a bet against the Huskers. Right, I just feel.
How about Eric Gilbert, dude?
The fucking guy who broke into that. What are we doing?
He was a 5-star out of high school, Georgia, LSU, transferred out of both of them. Went to Nebraska, and now he's going to jail.
He was a 5-star.
5-star. He was the number 1 recruit in the country as a tight end.
Well, he made himself. He
5 stars aren't Grand Theft Auto.
Yep. Facts. They were waiting for him and he got scared as
fuck. Hilarious.
Oh my god, he turned soft real quick. Anyway, he won't be there tomorrow when Minnesota and Nebraska kick off the Big Ten schedule.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, Thursday game. We got current Betfred odds on this one. Minnesota at home. -7 against the Huskers. I think they cover a touchdown. I think that rule is going to be good for Nebraska. I don't love that in my opinion, he will get them to a spot where Frost never could, back to competitive in the West. I don't think it's yet. I think it's going to take at least a few games, probably a couple years. Give me the PJ Flex row the boats -7. And we are actually going to, we're going to try and stay all Big Ten here for me. The next pick I've got is Purdue Fresno State. I know that Purdue is projected to have a down year. Okay. They're only -3.5 at home. And hey, maybe the Boilermakers will make me look like a total asshole here in week one. What, you don't like this pick, Grant?
No, just keep, don't listen to me. I'll leave. Don't look at me. Just do your picks.
Okay. Well, it must be one of Grant's picks to cover the 3.5 for the Fresno State Bulldogs. I just like, it's so embarrassing if they don't win by more than a field goal. Am I seeing it wrong? No, it's Purdue -3.5. I'm taking that. And then I can't imagine that Northwestern has their shit together right now. They play Rutgers this week. And it's Rutgers -6.5. I think Rutgers is going to cover that. I think Northwestern's going to have trouble finding any sort of scores except for in the showers. And so those are my three picks. Give me Purdue, give me Northwestern, and give me Minnesota. Those are my three. Grant, you got any picks for us?
How many you want? I got
guys prepared.
Your best three.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't want to spoil it. I have literally the exact opposite of every pick you took. I do have that. I have the exact opposite. But that's not fun if we just talk about the same games over and over again. That's not fun.
No, yeah, go for it.
I have Northwestern, Nebraska, and Fresno.
That is hilarious.
All on my list.
Well, one of us is going to be happy.
Maybe.
Yes, so picks I have. Other ones I like. South Alabama, +6.5 versus Tulane. Everyone's high on Tulane, but I don't think enough people are high on South Alabama. If you look on Action Network, bunch of bets on Tulane as well. Just too many. 6.5. I like South Alabama.
Wow.
Let's see other ones here. Let's go Houston +1.5 against UTSA. Just way too short of a line. Same thing as Fresno. Like especially if everyone's betting on UTSA, just take Houston and like you can sleep at night if it loses, knowing you made the right bet. And then I'll go third. Primetime game. I like Florida State +2.5 versus LSU. LSU last year, they went from being not that good to all of a sudden rising like 16, 17 spots. They beat Alabama. I get it. But they also got trashed by Tennessee and they lost to Texas A&M in the last week of the season. And everyone just seems to forget about it. But Florida State, good team. I think they have the better quarterback in this situation too. And like everyone is on Florida State this year, it seems like. But for some reason, everyone likes LSU in this game. From what I'm seeing, so I'm taking Florida State.
You think LSU is overrated in general? Highly overrated.
I think this year, yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
Because I saw like when the AP poll came out and the coaches polls came out, there was a couple people who actually had LSU like second or first.
And you're entitled to your opinion. I just strongly disagree.
Okay.
And I'll be taking Florida State.
I know this. They don't got Joe Burr.
No, they don't. And they got I don't think he's super consistent. Like he's probably going to get drafted to the NFL, but I think Jordan Travis in this situation is the better quarterback, which usually like in a game that's so tight like this, like 2.5 spread, like usually better QB is going to win you the game and cover the spread. So
FSU's kind of been coming, huh? Like the last couple of years they've been building.
Like they won 10 games last year and I feel like no one was really super juiced about it. Yeah, they're a good team.
Do you think they have a chance to – they got a real shot to win the ACC this year, beat Clemson?
I think – yeah, I mean, so they got, you're going to know Florida State if they're in the playoff or not by like week five. They have this game and then they have Clemson, I think it's week five, maybe it's early in their schedule. And it's at Clemson too. So like if they win this game and then they go to Clemson lose, they'll probably play them again in the ACC championship. If they win that, they one loss and it was to Clemson, like, and you beat LSU, it could probably in the playoff.
Hey, you never know. One of those ACC scrubs could come through and upset, right?
Drake May is going to beat them.
Yeah, North Carolina, Wake Forest. One of them teams could get hot one weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I like Drake May, but it's like, I don't, like, he's a great QB.
He's supposed to be like.
Who's he throwing to? Who's blocking for him?
It's a good,
who's
a playing question. Defense for him? Yeah, it's a good question. Isn't he supposed to be like great. A top five pick next year?
He's one of the better quarterbacks in the country
him
right
and
now.
And Caleb Williams, like 1-2 for quarterbacks?
Next year. I mean, I'm not a draft guy, but
Drake, you mentioned Penix. They're high on Penix. Penix is supposed to be like big time next year in the draft too.
Yeah, if we're doing futures, by the way, Penix is 16-1 for the Heisman. I think it's fantastic.
Really? And he's got some studs out on the out wide.
I would pick them to win the to win the Pac-12 right now. Washington. Shout out the boy Roger Rosengarten on the O-line. Boy from high school, stud. But
he went to the
shout
old.
Out Big Raj.
Shout out Big Raj. Washington though, I do like them. I think Penix can win the Heisman, especially after his last year. And I think seriously, like, if you're the best QB in the Pac-12, you probably have the Heisman season this year. So,
yeah.
In my opinion,
this last year of the Pac-12, actually, there is some decent storylines. So
it's I mean, it's the best QB conference by far this year.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, top to bottom.
Well, that wraps up our first preview episode of the season. You guys are listening to this on Thursday, or again, Wednesday if you're part of the Army. We are going to, Grant and I are going to dabble with a little, I don't know if it's going to be live or not, but we will have a third sort of bonus episode for you, short one, put out sometime Thursday afternoon. We're doing a little bit of a crossover. Grant may or may not be there.
I will not be there.
I will be there. I'm doing a podcast. I'm going to cross over with this Utah State guy who does podcasts. It could be a complete failure. I want to try and get a crossover podcast each week with somebody from the opposition. So we're going to do that. And then live show on Friday. Come see us at Back Pocket 2 to 4 p.m. Buy some merch, hang out, drink beer, listen to our live show. Get Kevin's potentially get Kevin's signed practice jersey, some other raffle stuff that we're giving away, and have a good time. Fry Fest kicking off the weekend. 11 a.m. Saturday in Kinnick. Drink your water. Hawks by a fucking million. That's all we got. Till next time. See you then.
Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.